Mr. Apocalypse is coming. His horizon into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul and listen to this week's comments from Less Visible.
Hello. Well, it's a little better aroo than last week, so hopefully in the week coming our aroos will go back to where they used to be. Well, greetings. Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and a Saucer Pod. Greetings from the Sirius Cluster and the Arcturian Brotherhood and all those visible and invisible friends who work on our behalf from the background and off to the side, seeking to guide, assist, and lighten our burden here in the dark hours of the cosmic summing up. We thank and welcome and acknowledge you. Some would say that chaos and discord are poised to all sides at this time. Some few others, myself included, believe that a golden age is on our doorstep, and that regardless of appearances, the light of the Avatar is leaking through the seams of all the badly spun plots of the agents of evil. It is so very difficult to know what may or may not come about here shortly. From many corners, we hear that 2017 is going to be a bear of a year. Certainly, in an election year, we know that low jinks and malicious hanky-panky are the order of the day. No doubt we shall see soon enough what unfortunate plans the self-chosen elite have in mind for us. They have been stymied for some time due to the efforts of the unsung heroes in the background. Surely our circumstances would be far worse were it not for those selfless ones who work to hinder the plans of the psychopaths and Satanists. In times of the appearance of resident darkness, it is common sense that one should seek out the light. But where is the light? What is the light? The divine is incomprehensible and indefinable. Given this, how can one attempt to seek out that which one is incapable of understanding? Well, that's a very good question. You can look in every direction, but if what is sought after is unseen, how can you identify it? For me, it always comes back to love. You must increase your storehouse of love through devotion and intensity. You must focus on that which can be known and which connects, however directly or indirectly, to the source of all things. If God is love, then it is love that must be sought. And in the process, the Almighty will appear upon that highway of genuine affection. If one sets up a particular resonance, it will alert the angels who serve the ineffable, and a communion will result in respect of the degree of one's determination to achieve it. It has been said that one can find the Almighty through the service to one's fellows. In selfless service, one can awaken the indwelling divine, and from that point, the divine will take over the operation. Leading the seeker through whatever twists and turns are necessary for the particular individual so engaged. I know little about the higher arc of the luminous spheres. What I do know is that God is real and can be discovered in the sincere yearnings of one's heart. One need only love and continue to love until the author of love is drawn to investigate the love sent inward and skyward. It should come as no surprise in these times that every effort is being made to distract us from the successful completion of this quest. Materialism emits its stifling suffocations on all sides. It is as if gigantic machines were billowing out exhaust fumes to negatively intoxicate us as a blur on the horizon on all sides. The flame in the heart exists by degrees of impurity and then purity as the dross is burned away. One's love must become refined and further refined until the flame burns true and pure and attracts the love of the single flame that birthed you. Surely the great love resides at the heart and center of all things, and we must dig ever deeper into our own darkness until the light is revealed. God is aware of our presence, and if we are aware of the presence of God, and we celebrate and practice that presence, then the time must come when unification is accomplished. It is no more than simple and continuous performance of practicing the presence. Tell yourself that God is here. Though you may labor in a surrounding environment of confusion and generated fears that imprison and confine your fellows, if you just remind yourself with all the constancy possible for you that God is always here and always aware, the time will come when the divine will find a way to let you know that you are known. It is all a matter of awareness. Increase your awareness through the power of love, and the divine will appear. First, you must empty yourself of every thought of self, except the grand self of the eternally indwelling. All selfish thought must be cast aside. All getting for self must be forgotten, and in the industry of service, the one will be made aware of your zeal and focused desire, and the one will come to you. Pray without ceasing. Let it be that your drive for the ineffable becomes greater than your drive for anything else, and you have a fait accompli. It is not an easy thing. It is no easy thing at all. You must divest yourself of everything else until this one objective is greater than every other objective, and the ineffable will enter in and dwell in you. It is a fact that the ineffable already dwells in you, but we are unaware of it. We must proceed as if we are aware of it. Whether that is initially true or not, it will become true. Others have passed this way before you, and they awaited different stations of your inward journey. They are always there, seeking to inspire and encourage you, and this is something you must believe and something you must tell yourself is true. It is a process of remembering and reminding. You must remind yourself that at every turn, God awaits, and that God, in his own mysterious fashion, is approaching you from within. Every trial and test is created in order to free you from the ties that bind. The ineffable sees you coming long before you are even yourself aware that you are searching. All the trauma and loss that we experience are really events of progressive liberation. Our hearts are broken so that they can contain a greater portion of love. Khalil Gibran once said, and I'm paraphrasing here, "Do not be dismayed at the sword that cuts into your heart, for it only carves deeper into the cup that holds your joy." I remember sitting with Father Francis once at his church on the mountain, Woodstock, New York. Father Francis was an archbishop in the old Catholic Church and had once been the go-to priest for the Vanderbilts and others of the similar ilk earlier in his career. He became disillusioned with the ways of the world, and Peter Whitehead's father, his father founded Woodstock as an artist community, gave Father Francis the top of Meads Mountain with several hundred acres on which to build his church. And by his own hand, he constructed this chapel along the lines of more ancient structures, and there he would hold services every Sunday for decades until he passed on. I lived with him for a year or two, sometimes indoors, but in good weather, always outdoors in whatever structure I had at the time, be it teepee, tent, or something I'd built. I would sit and listen to his stories from the past very often. And every Sunday after his services, he would sit in the garden, in good weather, and hold forth to whomever might have shown up. There were never very many of us, and it was always a delight to me when I would see the Spirit overtake him in his talks. It was visibly so. Anyway, one day I was sitting with him, and we were alone, and I happened to mention Gail Gibran. And he told me he had met him, that Gibran had actually come up to the church to visit him. I was very much enamored of the writings of Gibran at that time, and asked him how it had gone. He said, "Well, he was a very lovely man, but he drank too much wine." I've never forgotten that. During the period that I was in residence, many celebrities came to see Father Francis. The Rolling Stones dropped by, Bob Dylan had come by, and Father Francis told me that Dylan's wife, Sarah, used to come up there to pray. Looking back on my earlier life, I wonder at the person I was then, before I got swept up in the world's nonsense for a time. Still, though I was roiled and torn in many directions by the forces of the age, I've never forgotten my original quest, and that is to find and come close to the ineffable. It would be perfectly fine for me to sit at the very extreme of his kingdom, or right up against the boundary. I've no great motivation to be closer to the center. I imagine it might be too crowded there for my tastes. Now let me sit further out, perhaps even all alone, just where the light of the Almighty still touches, still shines upon those within the kingdom, and that would be perfectly fine for me. I managed to find the ineffable, only to lose him again in the clouds of dust that are the composition of this world. But if you do not give up, you cannot fail. And I feel the Almighty drawing closer to me by the day, as he draws me closer as well. All of this is accomplished by the ineffable. We are only passengers on an invisible ship that has been designed to sail us across the ocean of birth and death. I await this. I expect I will hear some kind of foghorn at some point and will then be led to this conveyance that is, I suspect, very difficult to see, but which I also suspect appears right in front of you when the time has come. Faith, certitude, and determination. These are what is required. Faith, certitude, and determination. With these qualities in hand, I suspect that one can achieve anything. I rest on that and trust in that. And I believe that it will manifest for me at some point when my struggles here are done. This life, as you know, is a it's a training camp. It's a boot camp. It's a dress rehearsal for something far greater. And we're here to learn. And if we don't learn, then we will continue to go through the experiences necessary to make sure that we do learn. And we can learn more quickly if we wish. We just have to be adaptable and surrendered and rely on the ineffable for everything, in every moment, at all times. I once said to Guru Bala, "Master, I want to surrender. Can I not just surrender right here and right now?" And he replied, "Oh no, not you. You must fight and fight and fight. And then you can surrender." It was rather disconcerting and amusing thing to hear. Well, he's moved on now, as of a few decades ago, and as has Father Francis and so many others. One day I shall move on as well, and so will the rest of you. Where we shall move on to is the question, and that is why we must aspire every day to a higher state of being, always a little closer to the luminous and conscious light of the Almighty. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the interim, it is my prayer that you will be inspired by an ever greater yearning for the author of all things, and that you will be led step by step closer to the heart of God. That said, Hare Krishna, Om Amitabha, Hail Lord Jesus Christ, much love, Lady Nature, many blessings, Guru Bawa, greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh, Bismillah, Irman, Irahim, carry on, Baha'u'lla, Aloha, and Aru! He will.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing love and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.